Okay, good morning, everyone. This week's shiur from Maseches Chagiga is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for a Chagiga. And in this particular parak, we acknowledge that Yitz can handle things that nobody else understands. So I think that's his. And Refu Shleima for Binyamin Simcha Ben Adina Minya. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. Lili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. So we are on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are in this parak called Ein Darshin, where Chazal tell us not to talk about this, and then for the next 10 blot, they talk about it. So some of this is difficult to understand, and we'll live together in that difficulty. So the Gemara tells us about two lines from the bottom, that's where we left off. On the first word on the line, on Yud Beis Amud Beis, V'choshech v'anan v'arafel makifin oso. And darkness and clouds and all of this type of substance envelops oso, envelops HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hard to understand, he's hard to perceive, he's hard to relate to. Shenemar, as it says, the Pasuk says, where is this Pasuk? This Pasuk is in Tehillim. So the Pasuk says, Yeshes choshech sisro sivivosav sukoso cheshchas mayim ove shechakim. That he made darkness his concealment, his sisro, around him in his shelter, sivivoso sukoso, cheshchas mayim ove shechakim, the darkness of water, the clouds of shamayim. And the pasuk is expressing the fact that it's hard to perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's hard to perceive the actual presence and manifest of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then the Torah says, then we have a different pasuk, the pasuk in Daniel. V'aksiv, the pasuk in Daniel says, hold on, Goli, what does the pasuk say? Hu gole amiksa umisart rasa yada ma bechashocha unehora ima shira shirei. So what does that pasuk mean? That pasuk means that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's depth, galei amikasa umisturasa, his depth and his hiddenness is known in the darkness, and there is a light that exists within him. He knows what's in darkness. There's like the light that dwells with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have one pasuk that seems to accentuate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sort of distance and hiddenness and our inability to perceive his reality, his presence. We have another pasuk that seems to associate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence with something that's very illuminated, that can be perceived, that's lit. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, this is not a contradiction. Why? Ha bebate gavai, ha bebate baroi. Bebate gavai, says Rashi, is the inner chamber in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace. In his inner chamber, things are more illuminated. There is a light. Habibati baroi, but in the outer chambers, that's more removed, so things are more concealed. So when we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu being enveloped in something that's hard for us to pierce, hard for us to perceive him, that's talking about the way in which we relate to him. But in the inner chamber, there's a certain sense of light. And this obviously captures the notion that even though for us, in our perception of God, there seems to be a lot of confusion and barriers, and it's difficult for us to perceive, because here we're talking not just about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, that's the challenge of this whole Nevuah of Yechezkel, right? We're not referring now to the way in which we normally interface with God is we relate to the manner in which God relates to us. That's how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we said this morning, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? We're Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. We're thinking about chariots of fire and these kinds of things in Sefer Yechezkel? No. We're thinking about the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as they're associated with different midos in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. So we generally relate to Hashem in a manner that is perceptive to the human being. But what these psukim are relating to is not just the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perceived by a human being, but the way God's presence is identified or described or exists
in and of itself, the essence of that presence. And that's something that's really beyond the scope of human comprehension and human understanding. And it's even beyond the scope of human perception, even to like even conceive of what it means, because we're physical beings and we're limited by time and space and we're limited by the parameters of what we could imagine. We're limited by a physical intellect, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists transcendent of all of that. And so it's very difficult to even perceive, so what's the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to me through din, through rachamim, on a national level, on a personal level, through hashkacha, through providence, through relating to the consequences of my choices. All of that is sort of the standard normative way that we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here we're dealing with a much deeper concept. We're trying to at least touch the edges of a description that is given to us in the Nevi'im of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence itself, not just the way in which he interfaces with us, the essence itself. That essence itself, so that's something that is almost entirely removed from us. Like for us to be able to pierce this cloud that we're talking about is not confusion on the part of God. It's confusion on the part of us. It's perceived to us as a cloud. It just doesn't make any sense. We can't, but we shouldn't mistake that for believing that the essence of God himself lacks a certain sense of illuminated clarity. Kadosh Baruch Hu in those inner chambers exists with clarity. God knows why everything is happening. God knows what is happening. God understands how it's happening. God understands all these different pieces. It's just that for us who only can at least touch or see a little bit of that outer chamber, for us it makes no sense. V'amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, od rakia echad. You should know that there's another rakia, there's another heaven, whatever that means exactly. Yesh lemala mirashei hachayos, that are above the heads of the chayos, right? The chayos are when Yechezkel describes this chariot, this merkava, which is somehow symbolic or reflective of Kadosh Baruch Hu's throne, Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So that so there's another on top of these chayos. There's another, you should know, there's another rakia, and the Gemara has been discussing, I think, series of different heavens that exist, different rakias. So the Gemara says, Dechsev, it says, Udmus, there's some sort of image, Al Roshe Achaya, rakia ke'ena kerach hanora. It's like similar to some sort of glorious frozen ice, some sort of type of thing. So Adkan yesh lecha rashus ledabir. So the Gemara then says, until this point, I guess this point of reflection, these points of psukim in the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in this way that we have to contend with in this parak, and its parameters and its boundaries and its symbolism, it appears in Yechezkel and appears in Yishayo as well. Yishayo and Yechezkel lived in entirely different times, right? Yishayo lived in a time where the Beis HaMikdash was much more standing in its glory. Yechezkel lives at the end. Yechezkel is a contemporary of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He's just not in the same place as Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi is in Eretz Yisrael, dealing with the calamitous outcomes of the decisions of various kings all the way from Yoshiyahu forward. And Yechezkel is part of the elite that was expelled by King of Bavel from Eretz Yisrael towards Bavel, and he's dealing with a completely different community. He's dealing with a community of people who are hearing about this from afar, and who also have been given the mandate to somehow reconstruct a new Golus reality in that world. So there are different perspectives, but of the same events, Yirmiyo and Yechezkel. So says the Gemara. So mikan ve'elach en l'chol reshus ledaber. From this point forward, you can't possibly understand. Shekein kasu b'sefer ben Sira, as it says in the Sefer ben Sira. Ben Sira is a book that's part of the literature that's known in academic circles as the Apocrypha. Ben Sira is a sefer of wisdom that was not included in Tanakh for various reasons, which is discussed elsewhere. But it is quoted a number of times in Chazal, which is interesting. So b'sefer ben Sira b'mufla mimcha al tidrosh. That's that what which is more mufla, wondrous than you, that you can't really understand. Al tidrosh, don't try to to be doresh, don't try to interpret, mechusim imcha, that's covered from you, al tachkor, don't try to understand, b'masha harashta, he's bonein, that which you have been given license to contemplate and to understand, so that you should think about. Ein lecha esek b'nistaros, but you shouldn't have such an esek with things that are nistar, that are nistaros, right? I just passed when I was in California last week, driving down the street, the Kabbalah Center, right? Mm-hmm. The Kabbalah Center is, right? So there are aspects of Nistar that are, I must have told you guys the story once. I once had a kid in NCSY. I don't know if we should record this. I told you this story? I once had a kid in NCSY whose parents were big, big Kabbalists, but they weren't Orthodox. They weren't observant. And I remember he told me they used to go on the seventh day of Pesach to the ocean to say the Shiras Hayam and all sorts of things that they did.
Did the arm split?
It almost split. It was. I think it was in New Jersey, so it was probably too polluted to split. But so he used to, and they used to do all these Kabbalistic things. So I did what every good, YU rabbi does with people who care about Kabbalah. I made fun of them. So I mocked them. So this was a disaster. This was one of my early moves in Kiruv that totally turned this kid off. And so to turn it around, I decided, okay, I'm going to learn as much about this stuff as I can. So I bought all the Aryeh Kaplan books on Kabbalah and meditation, and I read them all. And this is already like a long time ago, but I was already giving shurim here. And I remember that like all this stuff started to creep into my shurim. Like I was giving like shurim on Maseches Brachos, and I'd be like the hand of God and the fingers and what's pointing in what direction and the triangles and the spheros. And the... Anyway, he became from. And we had a chavrusa in Kabbalah. Our goal was to have a chavrusa in Kabbalah. So we used to learn these meditation books, and we had a chavrusa in Nigla. And I think we used to learn halacha. So when he graduated, we have a big banquet where we have lots of slow music, and we, in a very intellectually healthy way, tell the kids what to do. And when it came time for him, so I bought him a set of Mishneh Berurah. And I inscribed it, Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, Niglos Lanu, and presented it to him. Anyway, today's for him. He got married recently. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma tshuva heshiviso baskol oso Russia. What is the answer that was given by the baskol to this terrible Russia? Bishah she'amar, who's the Russia? The Russia is Nebuchadnezzar. She'amar el al bamse av, Admala Elyon, I want to go all the way above the clouds and compare myself to the Elyon, to the Supreme, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That he was so full of himself that he could be a godlike leader. Yatsa Baskol Ve'amra Lo, so the Baskol came out and said, Rasha ben Rasha ben Bino shall Nimrod HaRasha. Your pedigree itself is tremendous rishus. Shehimrid Kol Olam Kulo Olav Malchuso. Who was able to get the entire world in an alliance to rebel against the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kama Shnosav Shel Adam. Let me tell you what it means to try to be above the sky and be with God. How many years does a person live? Shivim Shana, they live for 70 years. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Imeshon Asinu Bahem Shivim Shana. 70's pretty good. Vim Bigvuros, and if you live Bigvuros, then you live Shmonim Shana. Then you live already 80 years, right? The Gemara in Gittin talks about how long we assume people live, right? If we don't know where a husband is in terms of a get, right? So 80 is already pushing it. So that's a Gvuros. Shmonim Shana. V'halo min ha'aretz ad l'rakia. So think about that. It would take an entire lifetime, is 70 years. How far is it from the ground to the rakia, to the first rakia? We know there are many rakias. Mahalich chamesh meos shana. It's 500 years. So I don't know, the Mefarshim discuss exactly what the calculation is here. Is it walking? Because we're describing distance in terms of time, right? So is it walking? Is it, I don't know, is it driving? Is it flying? Is it supersonic Telsa, what's his name? I don't know. But the point is, it's 500 years. And the point is, that's like almost like six lifetimes, right? So, the all of Shor Rakia, and then the distance between Rakios. I guess there's like, it doesn't just go from Rakia to Rakia, right? Obviously, right? There's something that separates the Rakias. So that also is Mahale Chamesh Meil Shana. That's also a 500-year distance. And that's true for each rakia that's on top of all of them. So you're dealing with seven rakias and probably six spaces in between, or maybe another space on top. Each that would take 500 years in order to be able to cover. And not only that, but even if you were to get through all of that, then you get to the throne itself. Ragle hachayos, the feet of the chayos, keneged kula. The feet of the chayos are so big, it's like all seven rakias and all six in between rakias. Karsule hachayos, then the ankles of the chayos, keneged kulam, are also as big as all seven rakias and all six rakias in between. Shoke hachayos, keneged kulam, the lower leg of the chayos, we're dealing with an animal here that has three parts to their leg, not two, like us, right? The lower leg of the chayos is also like all six and all seven. Rechuve achayos, that middle is keneged kulon. Yarche achayos keneged kulon. The upper part of the leg is also as much as all of that. So again, so we have the seven and the six, each of which is 500 years. Then we have the feet, the ankles, the lower leg, the middle leg, the upper leg, each of which is like the total amount of all of that. Gufe achayos, the guf, the torso of the chayos, also keneged kulon. Savare achayos, the neck of the chayos, is also like keneged kulon. Roshe achayos, keneged kulon, the head of the chayos, is also like this amount. Karne achayos, then you have the horns of the chayos, also keneged kulon. Lemalamehen kisei akavot, and on top of all of that, on top of the seven rakias and the six spaces in between, and the feet and the ankles and the lower leg and middle leg and upper leg and torso and head and horns, on top of all of that, you have the kisei akavot, the ragle kisei akavot keneged kulam, the feet of the throne is like all of them. Kisei akavod keneged kulon, the throne itself is as big as all of them. Melech al chai v'kayom ram v'nisa shochein aleihem. And on top of all of this, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ata amarta el al bamseyav adam ala elyon. And you little pitzala Nebuchadnezzar, because you might have a mighty military and you could conquer a few countries, you think you're going to sit with God? You think God just like one notch above you? You're like, but the netherworlds of the bottom, at the bottom of the pit, you're like, you're nowhere compared to. It's very hard. Right. So it's a long Bosco. Yeah. Bosco had to start many, many years before, right? That's what they. So obviously, very hard to understand what any of this means. But the purpose of the imagery, right? So again, we can't understand what this means. 500 years, not 500, you know, like they're trying to figure out how to get to Mars, you know, like it's not so posh it because it takes like 2.5 years or whatever, like they don't even know like what's happening there for another 6 months. It's not, you know, so we can't imagine, you know, like think of space travel and what it means to try to get to a planet like that, and then imagine what it would mean to try to so what's the point of all this? So we could tell the difference between one rakia and two rakias and five rakias and seven rakias. The point is that we need to internalize the notion that we are not just like less smart than God. It's not like if you found a really, really smart human being, you found a really, really powerful, great human being. So, okay, like now, you know, now imagine God. He's like much, much smarter. You know what I mean? Or much, 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 much greater, much, much more powerful. Point is that this is in a realm that's just beyond human conception. It's just beyond our reality. And that's the nisayon, that's the challenge, to be able to, and that's the excitement, to be able to have the privilege to, first of all, live your life through the values of a being that has such mastery over the universe in such a substantial way, such a dramatic way, to be able to have conversations daily with such a being. To be able to live your life through serving such a being, to be able to live your life through the values of such a being, to be able to have a dveikus, a connection, to such a being is something that's really extraordinary. It's something that's really unbelievable. And sometimes we think that, like, it's just sort of like a little bit outside our reach. But, like, if you know, if you really think hard enough, you know, maybe you can, you know. And that's the point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is that number one, Kadosh Baruch Hu is just beyond anything we could ever really come into contact with and really perceive in a human way. And number two, that, you know, even in life, when we don't fully understand what's going on, and we don't fully understand how everything's playing out, we may have a lot of cheshbonos, but there's the Ribbono Shalom's command of existence is just something of such reach and such vastness and such greatness that there's just no way that we could even, it's not like, you know, oh, if you could just tell us what it is. It's a totally different dimension of existence, of living, and it's, and that's what's important for us to understand. So the fact that
didn't we just say, like, aren't we going above where we're supposed to?
You mean in this shir or
no,
in the
here.
Gemara? What?
In the Gemara, right? Didn't we just say?
Right. So the Gemara is saying you're not. I think what the Gemara is saying is that it's a good question. I think what the Gemara is saying is that mikan ve'elach, in terms of like trying to really understand and interpret what this means, as opposed to being descriptive of its reality. The psukim in Yecheskel are there. It's not like, you know, there's no ban on learning those psukim. You know, what does that mean? That you're not supposed to, what does the Gemara mean when it says ein darshin? That's why at the beginning of every page, ein darshin, you know? Don't try to be darish. Don't try to figure this out. It's beyond your understanding. But the descriptive nature of it is important. And it's important to think about the fact that that description comes up in the context of Churban, which is also interesting, right? In other words, this description is not in the Torah when we're describing, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down to Sinai to, you know, give the Jewish people, give Amis. It's not in Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's when Am Yisrael is about to get kicked out of their country and everything's a disaster. And everything's, you know, and sometimes it's Dafka then that you need to be able to reinforce your sense of, you know, grounding that that there is such an entity called the Ribbono Shel Olam. And even if you don't see all the time how it's playing out in your experience, but that's part of there's more to say about that. V'lo b'merkava b'yachid. So you shouldn't sit around and think about the Merkava by yourself. Tani Rabbi Chiya, says Rabbi Chiya, about mosin lo roshei prokim, right, to one person. You can give him the basic ideas. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Emos and Roshei Prokim, Elav Beis Din. No, you should only give the basic ideas to somebody who has a real, who's of real greatness, like an Av Beis Din. Ulechol Mishalibo Doeg Bekirbo, or anybody who has, and somebody who has the humility that their heart worries them within them. Ika de Amri, the different pshat, v'hu shalibo doi bikirbo. The Av Beis Din has to be one that's not just a really solid Av Beis Din, but someone who's libo doi bikirbo. So maybe Rabbi Weissman should have read this, taught this daf, right? Maybe he could share it with us. Amar Rabbi Ami, Emosrin Sisrei Torah l'mishi yesh bo chamisha dvarim. You don't give over the Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah, except to somebody who has five different things. And the Gemara will go through what these things are a little more later. But Sar Chamishim, somebody who's like a captain to 50, they have leadership qualities and soponim. There's somebody who's very respected, the Yoetz, and they have insight, advice, perspective. Chacham Charoshim, there's somebody who teaches a lot of wise people. The Novon Lachash, and there's somebody who's like, has understanding with things that are quiet, with things that are mysterious. V'amar Rabbi Ami, Emos and Divrei Torah l'Ovei Kochavim, shouldn't give over Divrei Torah to Ovei Kochavim, to non-Jewish people. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Lo Asachein L'chol Goy U'mishpatim Bal Yidom. So you're not supposed to give this over to non-Jews. So there's a lot of discussion what exactly are the parameters of this, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a less, makes a more emphatic halachic statement. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tosus quotes the Gemara, that Ovei Kochavim Osek B'Torah Chayev Misa, right? That sounds like more than just quoting Psukim and Psukim de Zimra. So, you know, so Tosus already wants to know, why isn't this just Osir because of Lifnei Iver? And he basically answers that there are situations where maybe Lifnei Iver wouldn't apply. Other Rishonim discuss what kind of non-Jews we're talking about here. Are we talking about non-Jews that are idolaters, that are going to pervert Torah and sort of use it against the Jewish people? Are we talking about people, what about non-Jews who are just curious about the foundations of Torah, Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, all sorts of other things. There's an interesting split in the Rambam between how to approach this for Christians versus Muslims. So there's what to talk about. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Eliezer, Ta agmarcha b'masa ha-merkava. Come, I'll teach you the Maisa Merkava. So Amar le lo kashai. I'm not old enough yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not, I'm not developed enough yet. So it's not for me. So he says to him, Ki kash. By the time he was old enough, Nach Nafshei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was nifter. He was gone. So Amar le Rav Asi, Tov Gemerichu Ma'aseh Merkava. So Rav Asi said, come, I'll teach it to you. So Amar le, Zakai Gemirtim Rabbi Yochanan Rabbah. If I would have been Zoche, I would have learned it from Rabbi Yochanan, your Rebbe. And you're the Klisheni here. Rav Yosef Havet Gomer Ma'aseh Merkava. So Rav Yosef had an understanding of the Ma'aseh Merkava. Sabi de Pumpedisa, the elders of Pumpedisa, Avutana Libe Ma'aseh Bereishis. They understood the sugyas of creation. So Amrulay, so they said to Rabbi Yosef, let's do a round robin, right? So Ligmor La and Mar Maisa Merkava, you teach us the Maisa Merkava. Amr Lahun, Igmor La, Maisa Bereishis. So he said to them, you teach me Maisa Bereishis. Bust the Igmon, so they did that. After they taught him Maisa Bereishis, Amr Ligmon Mar Maisa Merkava, teach us the Maisa Merkava. So Amr Lahun, Tanina Bahu, Divash Vicholov Tachas Lashonich. The pasuk says that sometimes you have dvash and chalav, things that are sweet, are under your tongue. What does that mean? They're under your tongue, says the Gemara. Dvarim ha-mesukim yudvash v'chalav yu tachas l'shonich. They should stay under your tongue. Meaning, you're not, you know, I heard you, I heard your shir, but I don't think you're ready to hear my shir. So that was, I'm sure that was frustrating. Rabavo, Amar Mehacha, Kvasim Lubushecha, Dvarim Shehain, Lushano Sha'olam, Yutachas Lubushecha, a different pasuk that captures the same idea that there are certain things that have to stay under your clothing. So Amar Le, Tanini Behu, Ad. So, okay, so just teach us until Vayomer Eli, and this is a pasuk, the beginning of the second parak, Ben Adam, which is what Yechezkel is called often through the Sefer. So teach us from there. So Amar Lo, hey, hey, Maaseh Merkava. You want me to teach you until there? That's the actual, until there's the actual Maaseh Merkava. So that's, so you're asking me to teach you the actual thing. So Meisevei, so the Gemara asks, the Meisevei, hold on 1 second. Ad Eichon Maaseh Merkava. Until when is the actual Maaseh Merkava? So Rebbe Yomer Rebbe says, Ad Va'era Basra. Until the second Va'era. So, what is that? So that's at the end, towards the end of the first parak. Va'era ke'en chashmal kemare eish beis lo saviv mimare masnav ulamala. These are different depictions of this energy and this fire. So that's where it is. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer ada chashmal, until the chashmal, until the description of the chashmal. So ad va'era megamrina mikan va'elach masrinin rashi prakim, until there you can learn it. From there forward, you should only give over the Rosh Prakim. Ikadamri ad va'era masrin Rosh Prakim mikam ve'elech im hu chacham maybe midato in im lo. If he's a chacham, he'll understand. If he's not a chacham, he won't understand. Midashinim b'chashmal. Are you really allowed to try to understand what this energy is, this chashmal? Ba'u yinu k'didarsh b'chashmal. There was a kid that was learning Yechezkel, right? For whatever reason. And he was darish b'chashmal, and he was trying to understand this energy, this chashmal, this word. V'nafka nura b'achalte, and a fire came out and consumed him. So the Gemara says, so maybe we should stay away from that in the curriculum, right? So the Gemara says, shani yanuka de la motizim. No, a kid is different, because they're not old enough. They weren't ready to understand this. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, Bram, you should know, zachor osa yishlo tov. The following person should remember for good. V'chananya and Chizki Hashemo. Chani Ben Chizki is his name. Because Yomalehu, if it weren't for him, Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel. Sefer Yechezkel would have been Nignaz. It would have been, Nignaz in this context means it wouldn't have been included in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. Right? Shehayu Dvarim Sosin Divrei Torah. Because there are things that are said in Yechezkel that have implications that sound like they contradict things that it says in the Torah. Ma'asa. So what did this person do? What did this Chananya ben Chizkiya do? Hello, Gimel Meos Garbe Shemen. He brought up 300 barrels of oil to be able to fuel his light. The Yasha Ba'aliyah, and he sat in this attic, Vidarshu, and he was Doresh, Sefer Yechezkel, until he could resolve all of these problems, and they could then include it in the Tanakh. Tana Rabbana, Maisa B'Tinok Echad, there was a Maisa with a Tinok, Shaykar B'Beis Rabbo, B'Sefer Yechezkel, he was reading Sefer Yechezkel in his Rebbe's house, for maybe B'Chashmal, and he started to understand and grasp this concept of the Chashmal. Before it was Didorash B'Chashmal, now it's Maven B'Chashmal, right? The Yotza Eish Mechashmal, and the fire came out from this Chashmal, the Sarfoso, and it burned him. Big Sholigno Sefer Yechezkel, and that was the reason why they wanted to be going as Sefer Yechezkel, not because of the contradictions, but because it really just seems like it's too, I don't know, you know, it's too
fiery,
too dangerous for children. I don't know. Sefer Yechezkel. So Amar Lehem Chanim Yechezkel Noim Zechachama Kol Chachamim. You're telling me that, like, just because this kid who somehow was endowed with some sort of penetrating understanding, that he was able to grasp this very esoteric, very Kabbalistic, very mystical, very powerful concept, and that had these ramifications, that means that every Yatz who picks up a Sefer Yechezkel for Nachiomi is going to get zapped by the Chashmal. So don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. And this is why we don't teach Sefer Yechezkel or any of the other Nevi'im. So, hein, right? So, no, this is not why. The Gemara says, my Chashmal. So, the Gemara says, hey, what is the Chashmal? You know, before we turn the page, this when I read this part of the Gemara, it reminded me of my favorite children's book growing up, which was The Monster at the End of the Book. Did you read, right, with Grover? You know what I'm talking about? Where it, don't turn the page, don't turn the page, don't turn the page, and then you turn the page, and it's Grover. He's the monster at the end of the book. It's a very chashuv. I once was thinking about using it at Shabbos Shuva Drush, but my wife told me I couldn't. So, my chashmal. So, what's the chashmal? So, I'm Rav Yehuda, says Rav Yehuda. And Erez is moving away from me. Chayos, you don't have to worry. I'm not in the category of people who understand it. Chayos Eish.
That's the problem.
So Chayos Eish, it's some sort of fiery Chaya that Rashi says that speaks in fire. Speaks in fire. Okay. B'masnisa Tana, and in Mishnah it says, Itim chashos, itim imalalos. There are times that they're quiet. There are times that they speak. B'shash adibur yotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chashos. At the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, these chayos are quiet. B'shash ein adibur yotze mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imalalos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not speaking, they're somehow, they are speaking. B'chayos, it sounds a little bit like dragons, right? B'chayos, ritzua v'shov, Kemare habazak, and the chayos, they go back and forth like a bazak, like a flash of light. Myratsu of Ishov, Amr of Yehuda, like a bolt of light. So like Keora Yotzim Pia Kivshan, like a bolt that juts out from the oven, from something, it's you're firing up a kivshan. Ma kemara bazak amr of Yosef Khinina Keora Yotzim Ben Achrasim. The fire that jolts out when you are combining together different pieces of earthenware. Okay? Va'era v'ine ruach se'ara ba min atzafon, anan gadol ve'esh mislakachas v'nogel lo saviv, v'mutocha ke'en chashmal mitocha esh. Lehechan ozal, so this great depiction of this fire, of this energy, of this burning source of light that's surrounding it, this chashmal mitocha esh. Where is it all going? What's it all doing? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Shehalach lichbosh is kol olam kulo tachas nebucha netzar harasha. It's going to conquer the whole world, like together with nebucha netzar harasha. V'chol kach lama shelo yamru umas ha'olam, that the umas ha'olam will not say biyad umas shifla masar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esbanav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his children to fall into the hands of a weak nation. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi garam li, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, mi garam li she'eyeh shamish l'ovdei psilim, who resulted that I had to somehow align myself and my glory and my presence and my energy with these avodas psilim. It wasn't them, it was avanosan shal Yisrael him garmuli. It was the sins of the Jewish people.
Are these
the sins of the Jewish people.
And these, what's it called again? Are these the same as the chayos?
These are the fire-breathing chayos with their chashmal and their energy, and this is all the.
At the beginning, where it was describing the chayos that are below the kisei hakavod.
Right.
Is chashmal those chayos that it's referring to?
I don't think so. All right, Palmer? I don't think so. I think the chashmal is a different description later in the parak, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so. Because it quotes a different Erev Yinei Ruach Se'ara Bamin Atzafon Anan Gadol Ve'esh Mislakachas Ve'nogel Osavim Mitocha Ke'en Chashmal Mitocha Esh. Chashmal seems to be some sort of like central energy, right? In modern Hebrew, Chashmal is the word that they chose for
electricity,
right? I don't know the etymological history of that, like who made that call, but it is an interesting. It is interesting. Okay, here we go. So what happens? Eitzo so the erev achayos. Hakadosh Baruch Hu avanesayan shal Yisrael him garmuli. Right. So it's interesting, right? That Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's one of the considerations here. Is that there not be a perception that the Jewish people were overrun by a nation, a lowly nation. Right? Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not just like Stam, like a nation that's been appointed. Like there's a notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is within the Jewish people. So if there's going to be some sort of conquest, then it has to be that it's, you know.
The leading nation in the
Yeah. Planet. Va'era achayos v'hine ofan echad ba'aretz eitz al achayos. And there was a chayo, and so this is a different pasuk. So what does this pasuk say? Va'era achayos v'hine ofan echad ba'aretz eitz al achayos la'arba ponav. So there were four different faces. Amar Rabbi Lazar, malach echad shu omeid, and we'll get to that in a minute, ba'aretz, there was a malach that stood in the aretz, v'rosho magia eitz al achayos. And his head went all the way to the chayos. Masnisa tana sandalphon shimo. Sandalphon was his name. Higbu mechavero mahale chamesh meos shana. He was taller than his friends 500 years, the mahalech of 500 years. The omed achore merkava. He stood from behind the merkava. The kosher ksarim lekono. And he would tie crowns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara says, Ini, is that true? Va'akse baruch kvod Hashem imkomo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we praise Hashem, we say he's mimkomo. He has a space that's unique to him. How is this sandalphon adorning God with these crowns? So says the Gemara, Michal mikomo leka the yadile. There's a makom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that's unreachable by anybody else. So Amar Sham, Ataga v'ozo v'yasa bereshe. He would Sham, he would there somewhere else. He would create these crowns and let them go, and then the crowns would go on a Kadosh Baruch Hu on their own. Amar Rava, Kosher Yecheskel, Ro Yishaya. Everything Yecheskel saw, Yishaya saw. Lama Yecheskel, Lama Yecheskel, Domet. What is Yecheskel compared? Now, Sefer Yecheskel is far more descriptive than what appears in Sefer Yishaya. So, to what is Yecheskel compared? Leben Kfar Sheroes Hamelech, a somebody from a village that sees the melech. Someone from a village sees the melech, they notice every little exciting piece because it's such a contrast to their environment. However, and what's lama Yishaya doma leben krach shiras ha-melech. Yishaya is compared to a ben krach that sees the melech. So it's striking, but it's not the same. So Amar Reish Lakish says Reish Lakish, my dichsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says Ashir La Hashem ki ga'o that we sing to Hashem those that are the exalting of the exalted? Shira lemi shemizgah alagim. We sing to those that are exalted on that which is high. To Amar Mar Melech shebechayos ari. The top of the chayos is the king of the. Of the animals is the lion. Melech sheba behemos shor. The king of the behemos is the ox. Melech sheba ofos nesher. King of the ofos is a nesher, eagle. The adam is galeim, and the man, human being, is greater than all of them, right? Because a human being has das, a human being has understanding. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizgal Kulan. Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than everything. V'Kol Olam Kulo Kasev Echad Omer. That one pasuk says, "Udmus Pneiem," the dmus of their faces of this chariot, of this throne. Pnei Adam, Pnei Aryeh, Ela Yamin, Larba Asam, Upnei Shor Mehasmol, Abba Asam. It had the face of a man, the face of a lion. Pnei Aryeh, Ela Yamin, Larba Asam, the face of a Shor Mehasmol, Arba Asam. Uksib, Arba Panim, Le'echad, Pnei Echad, Pnei Kuruv. And another pasuk says that it was the face of a Kruv, and the face of a person, and the face of a lion, and the face of a Nesher. And it doesn't include the Be'ilu Shor Lo Kachashiv. It doesn't include the Shor, the ox. So Amar Reish Lakish, how did that happen? Yechezkel Bikei Shalav Rachamim. Yechezkel asked there to be a sense of mercy. What's the sense of mercy? He said to God, if you're going to have on your throne a Shor, every morning you're going to wake up and look at this Shor, what are you going to think about? V'havchu, what are you going to think about? What does the Shor remind you of? The Echeit Ego. So replace the Shor, v'havchu l'kruv. He replaced it with a kruv. So Amar Lefanav, Ribbono Shel Kategor Yaseh Sanegor, right? You want the prosecutor to be the defense attorney? You want every morning you wake up, every moment you're looking, you see this horrible reminder. So my kruv. So what's the kruv that he replaced it with? Amar Rabbi Vo Karvaya. It's the image of a child. She came above Bavel, currently Yenuka, Revaya. That's what we call in Bavel, that it's a Babylonian word. They would call children Revaya. Amalei Rapapala Avaya Elamiata Dechsib Pnea Echa Pnea Kruv Pnea Shnei Pnea Adam Ashlishi Pnei Aryeh Varevi Pnei Nesher. So, but if you go through the four, you see Pnei Kruv Hanu Pnei Adam. We already have the image of a person. So how could the Kruv be the image of a person if we already have the image of a person? It sounds like two of them are the same and each one was supposed to be separate and different. So Ape Rabreve Ape Zute. No, one's an adult. And one's a child, and one's a child.
Any relation to the Kruvim that were the basis?
Because of... Those are also images of Kruvim. Yeah. And those are also Kruvim. Yeah. But this is the Kruv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actual throne. Those also, the Gemara says, were faces of children. Va'ape zutre k'suv. So says the Gemara. Okay, good. Kasav echad omer sheish knafim. So one pasuk says that there were six wings, right? Knafayim. One pasuk says there were six wings. Le'echad. Because of echad omer ve'arba panim le'achas. One says there were four wings. Ve'arba knafim le'achas lehem. So Gemara says, lo kasha. Kam is much beis amigdash kayim. Kaz lo shein beis amigdash kayim. No, it's not a contradiction. One is talking about a case where the beis amigdash is around. When the beis amigdash was around and things were going well, we had six wings. And when the Beis HaMikdash was compromised, so then we had only four wings. We lost two wings. There was sort of a diminishing of the wings of the Chayos. Which ones lost their wings? The ones that were used to, I guess, create the musical experience. Shira Bahen. Ksiv hacha ubishtaim yofeif v'kara zel zeh v'omar uses this word yofeif ksiv yisaif einecha bo v'einenu. V'rabbonon amri osan shemichasos behen raglayim. The Rabbonon said, no, it's the ones that would cover the regalim. Shenemav raglayim regal yishara. Because he points out that the chayos's feet were one solid foot. So, and if it hadn't lost its wings that was covering the feet, how would he know that? So Gemara says, what do you mean, how would he know that? Duma igloi v'chaziyale. Maybe the chayos just, I don't know, had a slit in their skirt. He saw the leg. So there was just a space there. And he saw it. There was a slit by the wing. So v'chaziyale v'chaziyale d'ilote mahachi, because if that's not true, v'dnus pneyem pnei adam hachi navidi ma'it. So how would they see the wings that everybody agrees were still there, should have been covering the face of the person, that image? So how would he see that? Eladi gloy b'chazilei. So the wing moved and he saw it. Hachinami di gloy b'chazilei. Here also it was revealed and he was able to see it. So the Gemara says, Hachiyashta bishlam ape orech ara legluye. So the Gemara says, well, as we all know, when you're dealing with angels, to be able to get a glimpse of their face because the wing moved away from their face, that's pretty common. But to have the wing move away from their leg, that's very uncommon. Rabbi Kosav Echad, so Kosav Echad Omer Elef Alfin Yimshum Shena, the Rabbo Revivin Kam Kadmohi Yikumun, because of Echad Omer Hayesh Mispar Ligdudov, right? So some say, so one pasuk seems to say that there was this like infinite thousands and thousands of these beings, and one seems to say that there was more that there was thousands and thousands, but we know how many there were, and one seems to say there was unlimited. So Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Omar Elef Afim Shishena Linar Dinar Kan Mizmei Shemash Mikdash Kayim. One is talking about what the Beis Hamikdash was around, and Kan Be'en Beis Hamikdash Kayim. One was talking about when the Beis Hamikdash was not around. Okay, so these Gemaras are difficult to understand exactly what they're trying to share, but at the end of the day, it's important to know. I think the most important message from the Psukim in Yechezkel is the fact that he got to see this all together. The notion that even though they're in Golos, I think Rav Kook has in his Orot, he talks about that one of the only aspects of Eretz Yisrael that a person can appreciate only in Chutz La'aretz is a she'ifa for Eretz Yisrael. And he talks about the fact that there was one of the reasons why the greatest nevuas that are the hardest to understand and the most connected to, you know, depicting HaKadosh Baruch Hu were dafka given outside of Eretz Yisrael, which itself is interesting, is number one, because of this concept we know of Shechina Begalusa, that even though we're not in an ideal state, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us no matter what, and that point is accentuated by dafka revealing more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence in a space that is not in Eretz Yisrael. And the other is, it creates a certain sense of anticipation and a certain sense of desire to restore all of this, right? It gives us a certain image. It's what's important. Whenever a person's in a situation where your ideals are compromised, you could either adapt to that new reality and say, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is what it is here in Bavel, and we'll just sort of institutionalize that experience, and that will become who we are, and we'll do the best we can, and it'll be what it'll be. Or you could have Nevi'im like Yechezkel, who say, no, let me tell you like what the grandeur of what it means to be, you know, exposed to the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're able to preserve sort of that image of the ideal, then you're always working to work back towards it. You're always striving to try to reconnect to it in a more meaningful way. Okay, shkoyach everyone. These are not easy.
Very interesting that the word talking about the king of the animal, the king of the forest is